starter homes. What are they? And do they even exist anymore? We're talking about that today on You're Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein.
You're buying a home. You're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Your Buying a Home with Silas Lindenstein. I am your host, Silas Lindenstein. The starter home. I want to talk about the starter home today because I remember when I was much younger and I was looking to buy my first home, I would hear people talk about what a starter home was. And that's what we got. We got a 3-bedroom, 1-bath, little rambler, you know, had some age on it, but not too bad. It was a good place to start. Because as I was told, most people end up buying 3 or 4 homes in their lifetime. And so you got to pick that one to start and build some equity into that. And I've said on this podcast before that I kind of thought the starter home has maybe disappeared. But I'm rethinking that. I think instead we need to reframe what a starter home is. Because they are still out there. It's just a different way of looking at them. And that's what we're going to talk about today. So welcome. Welcome, everybody. My name is Silas Lindenstein, your host. As I said, I'm a real estate agent in the Seattle, Washington area. But hey, if you're not from Seattle, stay on the line. Stay here. This podcast is still for you. I educate home buyers all over the nation about the best practices of buying a home. Things are a little different from state to state. They vary, but buying a home is buying a home. And we talk about those topics. The first 10 episodes are the meat and gravy. That's where you, is that right? Meat and gravy, or is it mashed potatoes and gravy? Either way, the foundations of the home are the first 10 episodes, and then we veer off from there. But today, I'm going to talk to you about the starter home. I've been thinking about this a lot as I've been going out with people, and I'm feeling a little despondent, to be completely honest. Get a little sad because when I started in real estate just a little over 10 years ago, I really loved the idea that I was just helping the average person, you know, somebody, manager in a restaurant and a teacher, game tester and a teacher. A lot of teachers I helped out. Buy a home, you have their first home, their second, moving on, that kind of thing. And over the years, it feels like it's been more like, no offense to tech folks, I'm close to a tech folk, but it's been a lot more high paying jobs that people need, at least in this area, to buy homes. And it's starting to feel out of reach for a lot of folks on. They just want to get a home, good home. They have good jobs. They're told, they're promised, get a good job. Keep your head down. Keep your nose clean. One day you're going to be able to buy a home. And it's seeming a lot harder. People are having to go further away from where they really want to be. I mean, that's always been the case a bit. Like when I first bought my home, I didn't really want to live in the suburb that I was. I'd love to have been downtown, but it was too priced out for me. It wasn't in my means. I just me and my wife at the time, we just had normal jobs. Back then, buying was a lifestyle choice. You just were deciding whether you wanted to be a home? Do I want to invest in this community, or do I want the freedom to just bounce around whenever? Or am I okay if my landlord decides to raise rent or just wants to rent it to someone else? Am I okay with that? It was about choice then. It was about how you wanted to live. And now it's almost like people aren't getting a choice, and that's sad. But here's some things that have changed. One reason that starter homes are not as readily available is it used to be. People lived in a home, then they're tired of that home, or they wanted a new home, or they're going to move. And so they just put their house on the market. They like painted it, cleaned it up a little, and then they moved. They would sell it and go, and you'd move in there, and it would be in the shape that it is. If you wanted a fancy looking home, you had to go buy a new construction. That's how you got that kind of home. But somewhere, I don't know when it actually happened, but somewhere in the 90s, early 2000s, everyone started watching TV shows on TLC. And people started, and in the age of the internet, right? People started getting more informed about how people can do things. People started learning how to flip a home, not just buy a home and flip it, but how to flip your own home. So now it's almost common practice that people are like, well, I want to get the most money for this house. Look at that house down the street that sold for a crazy, god-awful amount of money. How do I get that? Oh, I have to have a kitchen as nice as that. So they live in the kitchen that was avocado green their whole time there. Tiles from the 70s on the bathroom floor with pictures of flowers. Awful. And then right when they're moving, they have it all remodeled. And then they sell it like a brand, and it looks like a flip, but it's a brand new place. Because that gets them top dollar. And, you know, I don't necessarily blame them for trying to get top dollar. But what it did was sort of change kind of the infrastructure of how everything worked. Like, flipped homes were not as common. Or if it was a modern home, it's the people that moved in there, they updated it. Or while they were there, they updated. So they actually had a chance to live in it before they sold it. And now I feel like a good, 70, 80% of the homes I go into have had some sort of recent remodel, usually for the purpose of selling. I mean, and here's the thing. I mean, I'm talking to buyers here. But one thing I warn my sellers about is, you know, if you put $100,000 into the kitchen, it's a good chance you're only getting like $80,000 return on that. Might sell a little faster, but you don't get always your full amount of money. It might be 90% for kitchens, or it's 90% for bathrooms, something like that. How they do figure out the math, the experts. But you don't usually get the full cost back. So it's good for you to have actually lived into it and lived in it and enjoyed it. Unless you do the whole thing at a home. Let's talk about level up your home together. If you do the kitchen, you should do the bathroom, vice versa, and then slowly bring your home up to be the same degree of remodeledness throughout it. That's how you really increase the value. And mostly probably doing it yourself, because the second you have to bring in a contractor, they are eating into a lot of your profits. So these homes are inflated in price, which didn't need to be. And so that makes it people with a lower income who are normally people going for their first home, have less money to buy with, because you're not selling a home to get into this one. It's always easier the second home to buy. So that's one reason. So you've eliminated a lot of homes like that. The other thing that's happened is people touring these homes or seeing how much more they could get for a little bit more money. I feel like people are becoming a little pickier. Like they don't want the avocado linoleum or the avocado colored bathtub. They don't want it. They won't pay for it. And they have this idea that I'm not going to pay $500,000-$600,000 to bathe in the color avocado green. I just will not do that. So they refuse to buy it. So people then have to remodel to get people to sell it or to pay their price. So we've also done it to ourselves. We have less people willing to accept what I would call fixers. And not even a fixer, out of daters. That's a funny thing that I hear. a lot of people will go into homes and they're like, well, this place is a fixer. No, it's not. The water heater's new. Furnace is only 5 years old. It's got some good bones. This is an old home. It's got cedar wood. It's wonderful. It's actually a really good home. You should buy this home, is what I'm thinking. But they cannot handle the updates being old. They don't want to have to do it themselves or don't think they can do it themselves. And the truth of it, when you're a homeowner, you never thought you could do the stuff you do. You end up learning. And, you know, before people just learned on the, like, it was on the job training. You're a homeowner, you're suddenly learning how to do things. Out of books, you got YouTube now. You can learn how to do everything. I've learned so much stuff on how to, like, replace things on my daughter's car because of YouTube. I've learned stuff in the house on YouTube. I learned so much on YouTube. I literally believe you could almost do everything. Some tools. That's the expensive part, is if you don't have a specialized tool, but maybe there's a local tool library you can do, right? Anyway, I think the new starter home is the fixer, and maybe even the true fixer, not just the add-a-dater. A house has, I don't know, some cracks. Cracks on the foundation. Did you know cracks in the foundation are repairable? Did you know that? Well, people said the foundation was bad. You know, you can fix it. Got to get someone in there to fix it. Might cost you a little bit. But those are the things that make a house really hot to buy. They have something that scares people a bit, whether it's a foundation or, some electrical looks a little like it needs work. And I understand why it seems scary, but every home needs this stuff done, it seems, unless it's new construction. And even then, they do some things wrong. If you want to get an affordable home, a really good affordable home, you need to, one, either go for just something outdated, or two, go for something that needs some repairs. Especially if you're willing to put your own labor into that, or to give it a shot. Just give it a shot. You don't have to be pro for most of this. Just give it a shot. I always say it's better to disclose everything up front when I'm helping someone sell a house, because buyers are more apt to look over flaws of the house or material defects of it if they know about it up front, if it's not discovered during inspection. And so much depends on your inspector, whether they're willing to, how they phrase things as repairable. Because there are serious problems. A roof leaking is a serious problem, but it's also pretty easy to fix. I mean, for a roofer, someone younger than me. But a lot of it isn't rocket science. Structural problems, I mean, they're technically not rocket science, but they are a lot more challenging. Maybe take a little bit more experience to get. But this is how you get the discount. Being willing to put in the work where others weren't. I used to say I love the avocado kitchen or the avocado bathtub because I know other people walk into the house, they're going to turn around and leave. So I knew instead of there being 17 offers on this house, there's probably going to be 3. And for a while there, it was like, give me 3, I'm winning this property. I can win a battle of 3. That was before everyone started waving every stupid thing, all these contingencies they started waving, which I don't recommend in good conscience. People can decide to do it if that's what it takes to win a home for them. But I got to live with myself, so I can't tell you to waive your inspection there. So I think people need to stop looking at it because some of these homes are actually rather large. And then people are like, well, this will be a big undertaking, so they don't want to do it. Take the big undertaking. Take the chance. I'm not saying to buy a money pit. Do your investigation. But the new starter home is the home that you're willing to work on. It's not the 3-bed, 1-bath. It's the any size home that has problems. That you go in and it just smells like dog. And you're like, am I in a house or am I in Snoopy's house? That's what you got. That's a deal. That is a deal that you're going to, that you should jump on. If the starter house is what you want, the starter house, because of that, is also going to build you equity quicker. Every time you do something to it, you're making it worth more. When it smells better, it's worth more. When it start updating the designs, it's worth more. Add a little square footage, it's worth a lot more. Because the problem with the newer homes, especially new construction, you can't do anything to increase value except for time. It's in the best condition you have, so, or that you could get. So you can't do anything to this bathroom. It's the best bathroom possible. There you can, the only thing you can do is add square footage if it's possible in your house. And the way they're building things now with putting 4 homes on a single lot, because the city has okayed it, people are losing yards, right? Yard space or having no yards. So those alone are going to become valuable. But take the chance, is what I'm saying. Folks, is this helpful? Is that helpful to reframe it? The starter home has changed. We got to change with the times. I just hope you're willing, as you're shopping around the house, to look, go in there and say, we can change anything. The layout is probably the hardest. Location you can't change. Second thing is the layout, where you have to move walls. That's really important. But everything else, every cosmetic thing, take the deal. That's how you build rapid equity in a home. Not by buying it brand new off the lot. Like, it's not quite like a car where it appreciates the second you leave, you know, the lot. But the appreciation is going to be slower on these newer homes. So once you got that starter home, then this new starter, you fix it up, then you can sell it and have a good down payment for your next home. The one that was a little more appealing that you won't have to do the work for. Okay. That's it. That's the program today. Just wanted to touch on that topic. Again, hey, you want to get my ebook, my free ebook about buying a home, the process, you want to have it laid out in front of you. Email me at silas@silasgetsreal.com. And yeah, I'll send that to you. Just tell me where you're from and I'll email it out to you. It's an ebook, so the PDF come right to you. And of course, if you are anywhere in the United States, if you're in Seattle, I would love to help you buy a home if you're in this greater Seattle area. If not, I have agents all over the country that I can connect you with, who are not just good agents, but also good people. And that can be just as valuable. So please, again, email me, silas@silasgetsreal.com, and I'll connect you with somebody. And otherwise, thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing, which you're doing right now. Thank you for sharing. But mostly, I just want to thank you for buying a home with Silas Lindenstein. Happy home shopping.
You're buying a home. You're buying a home with Silas Lindenstein. Pull up a chair, we'll walk the line. Big step, big dream, but the jargon feels mean. Pre-approval inspections, what's it all even mean? Hit play, slow it down from that rent to your own.